This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Ethan's been doing a great job, and Matthew as well, but we got at least two members of the team back tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. Fred has been in Japan for like a week and a half, and we think he's back. We're not completely sure. He could be very sleep-deprived at this time. Sue needed to take off a few days here for some personal business this week, and she will be back with us tomorrow as well. And then, unfortunately, Ethan Hannaford, who covers the Cardinals, we have a lot of people here in the building that cover multiple roles, and Ethan certainly is one of them, so he's going to go over to Busch Stadium tomorrow. He gets a press credential to cover the team and does some stuff in the locker rooms afterwards. Everyone will be here on Friday, Queen of All Saints. It is the, and I can't believe it's the fourth stop right now in the Fish Fry Tour, Queen of All Saints in South County on Christopher Drive. We will head to St. Mary Magdalene next week. That one is in Brentwood, and that's a new one. We have not been there previously. Ott's Tavern in Millstadt, Illinois, to wrap everything up on the 11th of April. So the Fish Fry Tour continues, and it should be fun. We had a great time last week at Assumption Parish. What a turnout. We met a lot of listeners. We even had a little bit of a panel assembled to watch the Reardon Roundtable, so that was fun. My friend Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com, he's the host of the Dwayne's World podcast, will weigh in on some politics here at the end of the hour. I still have an audio cut of the day to get to, and if you want to use the Rewind app, we had a great conversation with Ricky Horton a couple hours ago, a preview of the Cardinals season, which obviously kicks off tomorrow. That was around 3:45, and you can rewind to that on the Odyssey app. We had a great, great time, and many of you were there on Saturday night at the Factory in Chesterfield for Brian Kilmeade's appearance. It was a great success, and our thanks to Brian and his whole team for including 97.1 FM Talk. He is with us this afternoon for his weekly visit. How are you? That seemed like a pretty damn good time on Saturday night.
Yeah, I know. I guess you guys went to the heavy metal concert the next night.
Well, you heard about that, huh?
Yeah, I heard all hell broke loose, right?
It seemed to have. Yeah, that was actually on Monday night, but interesting. We always have something that's going on. But look, I didn't undersell the venue, did I? That place is fantastic.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to play in a nicer place ever. So it was just brand new, first-class operations. You guys were great. Audience was great. Everything was just perfect. I mean, behind the scenes was first class, too. I can't imagine Morgan Wallen getting a better treatment than we got.
Boy, they did a great job with all the backstage stuff. And I also heard that you were there, I think, until 11:30, signing books in the lobby as well, Brian Kilmeade.
Yes. Yeah, meeting everybody until everyone was gone. It was since it's not a school night, I was allowed to stay up late.
Yeah, so. but you're insane. You had, like, everyone was saying, you had like a 3:30 flyer. You had to leave at 3:30, right, to get to the airport. So you got no sleep, which is typical.
Yeah, you didn't tell me about the pouring rain. I mean, that was some badass rain. It was, and the wind was actually blowing the expedition en route to the airport. That was interesting. So if I wasn't awake at 3:30,
you were gonna be.
The weather got me awake.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, listen, it was great, and we've had you here now almost like 3 years in a row, and it's been a lot of fun, and it was a great success. I really enjoyed, and I think I told you this the other night, I went up to watch the show for a little while at the beginning before we had some participation, and I loved the whole bit with you in the beginning and sort of your origin story, playing soccer, getting rejected a lot, maybe in athletics, taking your determination and your perseverance onto the next level, trying to get jobs. You showed some interesting images of all the rejection letters that you've gotten and saved over the years. That was a great bit. I really enjoyed that. It was very inspirational.
Oh, thanks. I mean, it's all true, just so you know.
I get it. Well, we hope to get you back again soon, Brian, but let's talk about some things going on. Look, I've been trying to stay on top of this whole Signal controversy. I don't know where you are on this. The one thing that really kind of is not explained well and that I'm confused about is how, you know, Jeffrey Goldberg got on that particular string. I get that if I have a Brian in my contacts, I have Brian Kilmeade and I have Brian Johnson, and I start to type out a text to Brian Kilmeade and all of a sudden the other contact comes up. We all have done that on our cell phones, but it doesn't seem like Goldberg's name was on the list of contacts for Michael Wall. So that's where it gets a little confusing. Any theories there?
I don't. I mean, I have a lot of pedestrian theories. Practical consumer theories for people with the experience of going to buy a phone at the Apple store or Verizon. But I will say this. I talked to Michael Waltz last night after he got off with Laura Ingraham. And essentially, they still don't know. They still don't know. So Elon Musk goes, I handed my phone to him. And he's going through it. And they put his great tech guys on there. And no one's covering. Maybe it was a staffer that hooked it up and got the wrong JG. Nobody knows. For example, is there a way to put Mark Reardon? Okay, I'm going to call Mark Reardon now. Okay. Is there a way I call Mark Reardon, the contact says Mark Reardon, and the phone number somebody else?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the question. So I can't do that, but has that ever happened? Is there a way to do that, infiltrate maybe the State Department, the National Security? Is there a way to do that? I don't know. But all I can tell you is I don't think this is a staffer screwing up. I think there's something else going on here. Having said all that, okay, big deal? Absolutely. And what about the fortuitous timing of having the briefing of the Senate and House Intelligence Committee on the dangers that the country is facing? So if you look at the opening statements, they talk about in detail China, the challenge, Russia, the challenge, what's going on in the Middle East. And okay, here we go. This is the Trump way of attacking. This is our offensive foreign policy for the next 4 years. Oh yeah, we're not listening to that. Now about Signal. And do you realize how you screwed up? Realize how much you screwed up? And I'm saying to myself, okay, you're wrong. I said Mike Waltz goes, yeah, it's me. I set it up. No problem. It could be a staffer, but I'm in charge. Got it. Trump, take questions? Absolutely. He took an hour today, hour yesterday. Got it. Oh, Mike Waltz, right over there. Ask me any question you want. Got it. All right, here's the second half now. Now you have everything down. Get it out of your system. But we've been through this drill before. Mistake. Got it. Now, are you going to pound this all weekend, all night, 24 hours a day? Because we're not going to tolerate it as a country. We've already been through this. And I would say that the Republicans are doing it, Democrats. There's so many other stories out there. There's so much that Trump is doing. There's so many challenges we have. I mean, we don't know what's going on with these peace talks in Russia, I would argue, that bigger than Signal. You know, I wanted to do a follow-up on the Houthis. That was a devastating attack, but nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
I mean, even at work, I'm bringing it up, and everyone's like, yeah, Brian, no one cares about it.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, nobody cares. Now, all of a sudden, you care. And by the way, can we ask how effective it was? Yeah, I'd like to know. Can we open up the waterways? Yeah. And by the way, it was much more than bombing the Houthis, you know, men in moccasins with the sophisticated weapons. But it's a message to Iran, and it's a message to Israel. Israel's getting rocketed from the Houthis. We hit them. Iran's got a letter, 2 months, to decide if they're going to dismantle their nuclear program. We're going to blow it up. And how serious are we? The proxies that you've been propping up, we hit them hard. We killed 53 people, unlike Joe Biden, who was just blowing up empty launchers. So this is all a method, and there's a mission there. And I just wish somebody was curious, more curious, until it all leaked out. I think there's a lot of desperation for Democrats to get traction on something, to not talk about Chuck Schumer and the continuing resolution, the big beautiful bill they're going to be get jammed down their throats if Republicans act in unison. So we can't get Crockett to stop mocking people in wheelchairs. So how do we do that? Well, we talk about the Signal.
It's a great distraction, and I understand that. But my standard is usually, I said this earlier, would I be very concerned if this was happening on the other side? And I say that I would be. But, you know, now they're calling for Hex's head already. They're calling for resignations. That, to me, that makes no sense. I get that this is a serious issue. And by the way, I give Laura credit. I left last night. I heard that interview with Michael Walls. There were no softball questions in that interview.
It doesn't do anybody any good to give softball questions. Because it doesn't help the subject, and it doesn't help the interviewer. Michael, tell me what happened. Great. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a moment. It doesn't help anybody. So, you know, Michael even told me, he's like, wow, that was tough questions, but he doesn't mind. But the thing is, he doesn't have answers for it. Think about the frustration. You know, I'll give you an example in my life. I have a travel agent that Angelie introduced me to, and we're on a thread, me and my wife, and we're trying to figure out where we're going to go this summer when everyone graduates. And then something else happened, and I texted my wife about something unrelated, but guess what I did? I texted on the chain with the travel
right,
agent.
Right.
And my wife goes to me, you got to be kidding me. Do you realize what you just sent over? And I had to call her. I apologize. Nothing to do with you. It wasn't that secret. But don't I do that every day? Don't you do that sometimes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
At least I know what I did wrong. He still can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really? He goes, I still don't know.
That's
because
what's
nobody
weird.
Has his number.
So then you got to wonder about a hack or something. Isn't that, I'm not a conspiracy person, but doesn't that have to be in play?
Well, you got a pretty, you know, you got a pretty, these guys get along. You read the text messages.
Yep.
These guys get along. And they've been through the wars together on the campaign and their own campaigns. So they disagree, but they get along. So they're airtight. They're not leaking to Pete. They're not leaking to Jeff Goldberg. They don't need to call. Steve Bannon was calling, I forgot the name of the magazine. It was ridiculous. He's in the White House in the first term, calling a magazine. And when he left the White House, he went to another liberal magazine and opened up about Donald Trump really not being that good a president. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what the hell? That's a guy on your team. That's not the story now. So I think if you say it's a hack, it's a cop out. But I think this. Do not be surprised if the former Green Beret intelligence officer who worked for Dick Cheney and was trained in a very sophisticated department as an advisor to Dick Cheney, don't be surprised if he didn't do anything wrong. If we're talking in a couple of weeks and it comes out that he didn't do anything wrong, but he's typical him. He's like, it's my fault. I'll do it. And, you know, Trump brought up today, it was his staffer, it was his guy. And he goes, no, he goes, no, it's me. But he doesn't know how. He doesn't know how it's him, but ultimately it's your responsibility.
Let's you mentioned Jasmine Crockett. Let's talk about her.
Because we in these hot-ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot-ass mess, honey.
So, Brian, I'm the outlier on this, apparently, but I want to get your opinion. I think it's utterly, and she's an idiot, okay? And by the way, she grew up here, you know. Very, very privileged high school and you know.
Younger.
Really? Oh, yeah. She went to a fancy Country Day high school and another school here. Right. So it's all an act. Like, and I get that. But I think it's ridiculous for Republicans to act like Democrats and call for a censure for something like this. There's an opportunity in moments like this. I even had someone that hit me on Twitter. You put something out there. You know, Greg Abbott is a pretty sharp guy. You go out there and you put some Hot Wheels and put an image out there with him spinning around in that wheelchair, destroying opponents, political opponents. That's how you flip the script. I just don't like it. It
yeah,
sounds like they're
idea.
Whining about it. That's my
yeah.
problem.
Mark, I go with you. I mean, my instinct was same thing as Al Green. You call up and just say you really shouldn't make fun of disabled people. But then it brings up the whole thing about what Trump did in 2015 with the New York Times reporter, which I have not met that New York Times reporter, but evidently he's got something similar that he might have been imitating. I don't know. Seems like 100 years ago. But I know what you mean. Be above it. But it
yeah.
is pretty amazing for a Democrat to mock a governor in a wheelchair. I mean, it is pretty amazing. But he is one of the most successful governors in the country. Democrat or Republican, most success. I mean, look at what this guy has done.
Yeah, really.
I mean,
really
he's been amazing.
Absolutely. All right, it's only Wednesday. I think it's only Wednesday. I'm losing track of the days, Brian, but you got the show on Sunday night set. You're still putting it together.
Well, I'm definitely going to have Kaylee McEnany. I definitely want her communications ability. I'm definitely going to have, that's my Great Pyrenees
that's
who will
okay.
not be on the show.
That's okay.
Yeah, I will, and then we're going to have, we're working on a few things. I just got to think. Let me see. What do I know for sure we're going to have?
It is only Wednesday.
Yeah, it is only Wednesday. So, yeah, we're still formulating because I'm not sure that signal's still going to be hot by Sunday. So we're going to think about it. Just know everyone should watch at 9 o'clock on Sunday.
We will check it out. 9 o'clock here in the Midwest. Brian Kilmeade, what a great time we had over the weekend. We'll get you back here soon. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for everything, and thanks to everybody in St. Louis.
All right, take care. Thank you. Thank you, Brian Kilmeade. He's got the dog going crazy there. I understand that. That happens at my house as well. We have Dwayne coming up here in just a couple of minutes, Dwayne Patterson from hotair.com. But I wanted to get in, and I have options here for audio cut of the day relating to NPR, and I'm going to get back to that. I started the show with that. But one of our favorites, and you hear him in the show open here on a regular basis, is Republican Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who is he's just a wordsmith, and he's really, really good when it comes to some of the testifying that goes on Capitol Hill. So there was a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution regarding the censorship industrial complex, and he was talking with this radical activist by the name of Marianne Franks, who has written a book called The Cult of the Constitution. So one of the things that she's apparently really good at, self-proclaimed, is her area of expertise is teaching the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, those areas of the law. So, you know, he kind of piggybacks on a little bit of that when he's doing the questioning the other day.
And did you also say in that article, I'm going to quote again, quote, by simultaneously expanding white men's right to kill and constricting women's right not to die, this Supreme Court, referring to the current United States Supreme Court, has turned the Constitution into a homicide pact as well, close quote. Did you write that?
That sounds like me.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's very proud of it. Yeah, that sounds like me. No denials there.
For 2024. You tweet, don't you?
I'm not sure what the current terminology is for it, but yes, I am sometimes on the social platform that was formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, you're on a lot, aren't you?
I'm not sure what the relevance of that is.
You're trying to be provocative on there, don't you?
Again, I'm not sure what the relevance of this question is.
Well, let me show you the relevance. On November 7th, 2024, from your tweet, here's one of your tweets at 2:41 p.m., quote, the majority of Americans hate women. The majority of Americans hate women more than they love anything, including democracy, close quote. Did I read that correctly?
I am not sure what this has to do with the subject matter of this.
Did you say it?
I do not have those words in front of me. I probably said something along those lines, but yeah, what is the relevance
of
that?
Here it is, biggest Dallas, right?
So she doesn't want to deny that she says, because she said it, and she knows she said it, and she put it out there. By the way, that was right after the election. But again, she's a constitutional law professor that's weighing in on all that, and he kind of, you know, gets her into a corner here.
Your political beliefs don't impact your feelings about President Biden or President Trump.
I don't have feelings about either of them. What I have
sounds
is
to me like you have your favorite feeling is anger.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. You issued another tweet. This was in May of 2022. You've just been tweeting up a storm. You said, quote, there's a reason why the conservative-dominated Supreme Court thinks the Constitution does not contain a right to an abortion, but is convinced that it contains an individual right to possess firearms. And that reason is white male supremacy, close quote.
It would have nothing to do with that being explicitly written out in the United States Constitution, of course.
Did I read that correctly?
Is there a question in this?
Did I read that correctly? That's
is there
my
a question.
Question
that is relevant to this hearing?
Did I read that correctly? Do you really think that the United States Supreme Court, you're an officer of the court, is guided by white male supremacy?
I believe
she does.
The First Amendment prohibits the president
and other state officials
for punishing people for
Did you honestly say that, Professor?
I
and you expect us
that the First Amendment,
as a Democratic witness to take you seriously? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he always does such a great job, and he kind of closed it out by saying, curb my nausea. The other thing that I'll tell you, and I'm going to have some great audio from this hearing to defund NPR, is if there was no X, formerly Twitter, and tweets out there, you'd have about 1/8 of the testimony, because most of it these days are citing tweets from the past. And I'll have more examples of that coming up. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. He is awesome on politics. He's coming up next.